So the troparion of the Holy Cross that we heard today, in tone one, Nigavupo, O Lord, save thy people and bless thine inheritance, has like a military march to it, doesn't it? Do you notice that? Granting victory to thy people over all their enemies. Sounds like a military march. And the words talk about victory over adversaries. They talk about conquering. That's not accidental. Our talk about the cross, in our talk about the cross, in our celebration, our adoration of the cross today, we use a lot of military-like imagery. It might cause us to say, what's that all about? The Kantakion of the cross mentions a trophy and a weapon, right? So there's a couple ways that we can explain that or help you come to terms with it if you've ever wondered. First of all, these hymns were written at a time when the church and the empire had a really close relationship. The prosperous times of the Byzantine Empire. You know, St. Constantine, after he embraced Christianity, often the leaders, the civic leaders, would be themselves Christians. So there's kind of this understanding that the protected city, the people of God, is an actual place, and it was closely associated with the empire, with the emperor, with the citizens of the state. So there is that real close association. We don't live in a world like that today, though, at all. You know, we live in cultural diversity, we live in freedoms, and our Constitution even has a way of keeping religion and faith separate from how the state is run. So we can't be guaranteed that same assurance that the people had in those early centuries when they talked about being the city of God and being the protected people and conquering through the cross. So we kind of have to understand it more in the terms of the glory days of the Byzantine Empire. Also, we want to mention that, you know, like our church uses that. It uses that imagery and that language too. In the Lenten Triodion, when they talk about this Sunday of the cross, we're given this today because we need refreshment. We need encouragement. It's midway through Lent. We're halfway through this 40-day period, right before we get into the 2 days before Holy Week. But the 40 days is it corresponds to Moses going in the desert and fasting before he sees God and hears God's word expressed to him. So we are like those sojourners in the desert for 40 days. It's wearying. It's tiring. It's tough. It takes us out of our normalcy, and we need some kind of encouragement to move forward if we're becoming lazy or tired or discouraged. So the cross says, imagine that your king is coming and he's sending ahead of him his symbols, his emblems, if you will. So we're expecting the king to come and we see a little glimpse at the end of the road of his symbols of victory, right? And it's the cross. So the cross is used as a symbol of victory. For us Christians, it is a victory. It's not defeat. Sure, Jesus died on the cross, but it's in that death that he achieved victory over death, that he conquered the devil, that the great war was finally complete and won, and Jesus is the victor. So we see that victory as our victory. That's what we want to understand. But still, the military image. The king is coming. He won the battle. He's sending the emblems and the trophies ahead of him, and it's the cross. So when you see it today during the procession, remember that. That's the emblem of your king who won the fight for you, who conquered the enemy. And you want that victory to be yours. And we all believe that and hope in that, that that victory is ours because we believe in him and he won it for us. So it uses the language and the imagery of the military, but we don't want to understand it strictly in those terms. The second part of this, how we talk about it, is it's the power of God, right? And the power of God reveals itself not in physical, earthly might. It doesn't reveal itself in weapons of war. We're certainly not promoting or encouraging military might today within the church. We're not promoting violence and oppression against anyone who disagrees with us. No, that's the complete opposite of what Christianity teaches. Remember when Jesus was on trial with Pilate? And Pilate says, "Don't you know who you're talking to? You better answer me." And Jesus tells him, "Don't you know that if I wanted to, how easy it would be for me to call down legions of angels, you know, and wipe out your whole army?" So Jesus had the power. It wasn't a question of that. Was he going to use it? And did he want to use it? The whole point of the cross is that Jesus willingly laid down his life. He didn't take up arms. There were people who wanted him to. There were followers of Jesus who were zealots, who were waiting for Jesus to throw off the oppression of the Romans and restore their state. But he had another way. He had God's way. And this is what we want to learn today. He had the way of resisting, you know, giving up, laying down, not fighting arms with arms, not fighting words with words, but silence and nothing. Jesus answered his accusers nothing. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth, as it said in Isaiah the prophet, and he willingly did this for us. So as Christians, we want to really believe that and accept that. The power of God is not in the power of men, you know. In fact, it overturns what we understand as might and power and wisdom. God makes the wisdom of men foolishness through the cross, right? So let's see it today as refreshment and encouragement. Not because we're powerful and mighty, but because we're weak and we can't do anything without God intervening. And we're so happy and so blessed and pleased to see the cross at the end of our journey. It's refreshment for us, beloved. On that same note, for refreshment, the church offers us services during the week. We know that. We know about the ones that we've been doing for years, the pre-sanctified liturgy. That service exists, and it's so different. Maybe we don't know this. It's quite a different liturgy than we're doing today. I'll tell you in a nutshell. The gifts are sanctified the Sunday before. So this Wednesday, when we offer the pre-sanctified liturgy, we don't lift up the bread and wine on Wednesday and say the epiclesis prayer and ask God's Holy Spirit to come down upon us and upon these gifts. We will have already done that because we do it today. We hold up an extra lamb, an additional lamb, the part of the bread that's cut out, the body of Jesus. We lift it up, and it is consecrated on Sunday to be used on Wednesday. The reason for that is that we have canons in the church that forbid divine liturgy to be celebrated during weekdays during Lent. The church understands that when you fast, you fast. And when you feast, you feast. And weekdays during Lent are strict fast days. Divine liturgy, by its very nature, is breaking that fast. It's celebratory. It's a feast, divine liturgy. So how do you reconcile that, right? The church says, well, they're struggling, they're fasting, they're undergoing this effort. You know, they need Jesus. We need to take in the body and blood of Jesus. We need that encouragement. We need that refreshment. We need that fortification. So the church says there's a way to do the liturgy where the gifts are lifted up the Sunday before, and you're able to have that. So that's your medicine. If you come to church on Wednesday, take communion, because that's what it's for. You know, and that's kind of what I wanted to address just a little bit here. We certainly want to utilize the tools that the church gives us for a fruitful Lenten season. Lent is not about, I'm giving up this, and, well, Jesus suffered, and so I should suffer too. He died on the cross, I can give up chocolate for 40 days. When we oversimplify it that, when we reduce it to something like that, just getting rid of things and it really robs it of what it's supposed to be. Lent is supposed to be our growth in the image of God. It's supposed to be growing into what he created us to be. It's supposed to be our participation in the life of God that we don't do all the time because we're too busy doing other things, right? The church says, take the time now and do the things you're supposed to do. You know, don't be overindulgent in food, so it sets the guidelines. You know, pray continuously. So we ramp up the prayer schedule, the service schedule. Give alms to the poor. You know, love your neighbor. That's constant. But make an extra effort during Lent. So it's a time to do what we're supposed to do all the time, but we don't get around to doing it because we fail. So it's like focused work. Now you can work on it. Now you can do it. So I want to encourage you to do those things. You know, read prayers at home. Do your daily scripture readings. I have an app on my phone that will read the New King James translation. If I don't want to read, if I want to exercise and listen to it, it can read it for me, and I can listen, and I can hopefully be built up by that. So there are ways of incorporating that scripture into your daily life. Come to the services. Come to Pre-Sanctified, and don't deprive yourself of the Holy Eucharist. I know sometimes people don't like to take communion if they haven't fasted. Well, do your best to fast, you know. Or if they didn't take confession, well, take confession. Confession is here for you. There's no reason to stay away out of shame or any other reason. You know, sometimes we just don't get around to doing it because it's uncomfortable. We don't like it. We don't make the time. Lent is the time when we're supposed to make the time and we're supposed to do it. So take advantage of that. Go to confession. If you need confession before communion, you know, don't let not going to confession stand in the way of your receiving the life-giving body and blood of Jesus, because that's what we're doing here. You know, that's what we're doing here. Jesus is here for you. He reveals himself in his word and in his body and blood in the Eucharist. Two ways. We can hear the word, but we have to receive the body and blood too. Because that's how he wants us to experience him. That's how we're going to be built up. And especially during Lent, make the effort to come and receive Holy Communion. That's how we will be built up by the Lenten season. Another word of advice before I finish, don't get discouraged. Oftentimes Lent causes us to just say, I can't do anything. I tried to fast and it's so hard. You know, I'm trying to keep peace and keep my mouth shut at work, and there's all these agitations and I get into these arguments and I'm riled up and I'm like at war inside of myself. Don't be discouraged by that. It's not how you want to be, but it's also how it usually goes when you try to be focused. When you try to pray, when you try to keep silent, when you try to love, we get attacked. Our life in this world is a battle. It's a spiritual battle, and the forces of darkness want to pull us away. They don't want us to pray. They want us to be lazy. They don't want us to recognize other people. They want us to give up, you know, give up, throw up our hands and say, I can't do this. It's just not worth it. It's not working. So when we think it's not working, it probably really is. We need to be humble. We need to stand before God and say, thank you, God, for all of your grace. Because everything comes from him. You know, and I want to encourage you all, when you come to liturgy anytime, read through the prayers before Holy Communion. If you read those prayers, there's six of them. One of them we read all together in the church. This is the seventh one. You know, I believe, O Lord, and I confess that thou art truly the Christ. That's the one we read all together. But there's six more before that. They're so deep. And they say in no uncertain terms how worthless I am before God. How everything that's happening today in this liturgy is because of his grace. That I can't do one thing to earn the merit or whatever to receive what he's about to give me in his life-saving body and blood. If you hear that and you pray that sincerely, there's no way you can say in your heart, well, I didn't do good, so I can't take communion. You know, no, you never do anything good. God is here for you, and he's here out of his mercy. So recognize that, go to confession, be humble, and approach with the right attitude. This is how we'll have a fruitful Lent, beloved in Christ. And once again, don't be discouraged by the battle, because it's always a battle, it's always a struggle. It never gets easier, it always gets harder. And then think of Jesus waiting for you at the end with the cross, right? That's the trophy of peace. That's the invincible weapon that he conquered death with. The cross where he gave up his life, where he didn't say a word and he was willingly crucified for us and for our salvation. That's what it's all about. So keep your focus on that, beloved in Christ. May you have a fruitful and upbuilding Lenten journey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.